Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show. What's up, y'all? This next conversation was a ton of fun. He's one of the best putters on earth, but what I didn't know about him and learned as a part of an impromptu house tour is that he's an avid Golden Tee player and a big Pilates guy. And that's not all. We covered everything from basketball growing up to the ins and outs of a good putting routine to his great season on tour that has him in all of the signature events next season. If you're going to enjoy this one, here's my chat with Denny McCarthy. Well, Denny McCarthy joining the Smiley Show. This guy just had an incredible year in 2022, 2023. But Denny, you and I, man, our relationship goes pretty far back. And I tried to do some digging to the 2007 Bobby Bowers. And this is a tournament. I think it was in Springfield, Virginia.
You're right.
I was staying at my dad's teammate's house. A guy named Scott Inman was staying at his house. He told us about this match play tournament. And we went up there. I was in the 14-15-year-old division. And Scott Inman's best friend was, I believe, a guy that either went to Virginia, a guy that you probably know his name, but he told Scott at the beginning of the week, it's like, hey, like your horse, you know, Smiley, if he's going to win this tournament, he's going to have to beat Denny McCarthy. And we get up there that week. We both make it in. We're on the same side of the bracket and we meet in the semis. And I don't know the final of our match, but I got the job done. And I won the finals. And I wanted to show you this as I'm wearing this timepiece with the Bobby Bowers champion.
Wow.
Look at this, man.
Just had to rub it in.
I got this probably $20 watch on my wrist right now. And I just like, this is my humble brag. Like, yo, I got the dub against Denny.
That's awesome. You remember that? I do remember that. I wish I didn't remember this so well, but I think you won 4-3. I think that was the match final.
Dusted him, man.
Kind of smoked me. I remember that too. Like, I'm like, who's this Smiley Kaufman cat from Birmingham, Alabama? Like, who is this guy think he is coming to my domain and trying to, like, you know, stir up the golf in this Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. Yeah. Like, I'm like, what's this guy all about? But I do remember that. And you know,
4-3.
That hurts that you just whipped out the watch.
Hey, if you want to know what time it is during the show,
that's crazy. That was right now. It's 7. That was 16 years ago.
Yeah, currently it's 5:46, and I think this next 50 minutes or so, I think it's going to continue to remain at 5:46, as this thing hasn't been active for quite some time now. it was a good meeting for me in this case, but you know, I think our connection between us two is, besides just meeting at an early age, is that you and I both, I would probably not put words in your mouth here, but my first love growing up, not only was golf, but it was basketball. Like, I played basketball 6 months out of the year, played golf 6 months out of the year. And I think you and I both are very similar in the fact that we're good putters. We loved basketball and we loved to compete.
Yeah, that's you basically just explained me to a T. That's exactly what I love. Basketball was my first love. I mean, I've played with like the same, like all my grade school buddies, K through eighth grade. We were playing like a CYO league, an intramural league, and like an AAU Rising Star League. I was playing on three basketball teams. And like you said, like I was playing, 7 months of golf and 5 months of basketball. And I remember the first time I had to play golf year round, like my first year of college was my first time playing golf year round. And I lost my mind in the spring. I was like, I felt like I had to play golf in the off season. It was just weird not having, like, basketball was a part of my life for almost 20 years. Did it this, you know, the same kind of routine. And then I didn't have that. And I was like, what is this? This isn't me, like, playing golf year round, but obviously that was going to be my future. So I had to learn how to deal with playing golf year round. Now I kind of, you know, I take my breaks here and there. I think it's important to take breaks, but yeah, I absolutely loved basketball. Obviously just being 5'8", on a basketball roster, I was 5'10", but I'm like 5'8" and a half. I love how the basketball roster just boosts you up an inch or two. It made me feel so good.
Have you ever dunked?
With adrenaline, I can graze rim. I mean, I'm like a middle of the net type of guy. You know, I can swipe the middle of the net, and then, like, if I was really jacked up, I could, like, you guys see that? I just grazed the rim.
Yeah. I'm with you. I was a guy who could get rim, but I could probably maybe dunk a tennis ball, but that was probably about it.
Yeah, you're a little taller. You're a little taller than me. I don't have hops.
I was 6'1" and I ran the point guard. You were 5'10" on the stat sheet, but I imagine you were the classic kick out guy, 3-point shooter.
I sure was. I was classic kick out guy. Grade school and, like, freshman and JV ball, I was able to kind of be a little shifty and get into the lane here and there. And, like, I had some moves, but, like, once I got to varsity level basketball, like, that wasn't going to fly anymore. I knew my role, and we had a lot of good players. Actually, my junior year, we had like 4 D1 kids on the team.
What?
Point guard going to Georgetown. Yeah. Our league was really good.
Oh my gosh.
And, I started the year like 8th or 9th man. The assistant coach was like always lobbying for me to, like, play. Like, coach, got to put Denny in. We need shooters. And put me in one game, and I went like 6 of 8 from 3. And
just, like, jacking
from
up
that
threes.
Point out, I was like the 6th man the rest of this year. I wasn't expecting to get much playing time that year. We had a really good team, and our point guard was just really good, you know, drawing 2 or 3 guys. And I was perfect for that team because all I had to do was kind of, like, you know, shuffle around the 3-point line and make sure he could find me in tough situations. And I was able to just kind of be the knockdown shooter guy.
I guarantee
the golf ball whacker guy.
the golf ball whacker guy. Did the Virginia golf team, did y'all run 5-on-5 at the rec and play? I imagine. I know you had to keep playing. You can't just lose that.
We went to the rec center to shoot around a lot, and it got to a point where it was like, you know, people always needed extra guys for pickup, and we were like, yeah, you know, like, we'll play some games. And then, like, you know, my competitive nature, we start out trying to take it, you know, slow and take it easy. And that's just not in my nature. So, like, when we start losing and kids on the team aren't really that good, and I'm starting to realize, like, okay, if we want to win this game, I need to just, like, start kind of going hard and, like, taking some shots and be aggressive. And sure enough, that's what happened. I start working too hard on defense, start grinding on offense. Like, and it's just, it got to a level where I'm like, okay, I can't go to the gym anymore, really, because I'm just going to be tempted to play, and this is just going to end bad. So I still like to shoot around, but I try and stay away from pickup.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to get hurt. I kind of hurt my foot at the rec center, I think my junior year. And I remember having to tell my coach I got hurt playing basketball, and that didn't really go over too well. So I've retired from playing basketball ever since, even though I love it.
Yeah, Bowen wouldn't have been happy with me if I had gotten it, came and told him that.
Well, I mean, we've seen it on PGA Tour socials, and you've talked about it before. So we've seen how good of a shooter you are, and we know how good of a putter you are as well. I mean, do you agree? Do you think that there is kind of a connection between those two?
I think so. Yeah. I think, for me, I try and make putting as reactionary as it would be to shoot a basketball.
Yeah.
So basically just point and shoot. If I'm catching a pass, I'm not thinking once I'm, like, loading, you know, and I'm not really like second guessing, like, why I missed that basketball shot. I just keep shooting again.
Right.
And so, like, that's kind of the same thing. I think, you know, putting is, for me, I try and be just as athletic as possible. And I have mm-hmm. really good instincts and touch and feel when I get on the green. So I just really try and let my instincts take over and not try and, It's crazy. I just like people ask me what I think about too, and I'm putting, like, I give them like my spiel of like, I like to pick spots and like track things, but like, I don't know what I think about. I like literally just get so lost in my own little world where like, even when I have a spot picked out and I get up over it and I'm like, that the spot still feels low to me. I'm just going to aim it. I'm just going to aim a little higher. Like it feels like it's going to miss low. Like, you know, I spend a minute reading the putt and like, this is my spot. This is my spot. And then it comes time for me to finally hit the putt. And I'm like, actually, I think this actually looks like it's going to miss a little lower. I'm going to need to hit this too hard. Mm. So I'm just going to aim a little right and kind of just coast it out right a little bit. And like, that's just how like my instincts and feel usually are right when I'm on the putting green. And I've kind of learned to just trust my ability.
That's so interesting. And, you know, I think a lot of teachers and a lot of players think that your routine has to be run exactly the same every single time and it has to be perfect. But for you, you probably run the similar routine every time, but I imagine that it changes based off of either you don't see it quite correctly or you see it perfectly. And sometimes when you see it, you're like, hey, I'm ready to go. I'm getting in there. I'm getting in there fast and putting.
Yeah. And I think sometimes when things aren't going your way, like caring more and taking more time, and it actually like just doesn't do it for me. Actually, you know, I talked to Dr. Rotella a decent amount, and you know, he always talks about just like, just have a ball, have a blast. When you get to the green, that's when the party starts, kind of like care less to make more. And like, I love all that stuff. Like he keeps it really simple when I talk to him. So like, just even caring less, if you're struggling where you're like missing, you know, a handful of makeable putts, like get in there and just like care less and like, just like be super free. And it's really hard to do sometimes because, you know, you're hitting quality shot after quality shot and you feel like you keep missing good opportunities, but you just got to like totally let it go and free it up even more from that point instead of like clinching on and like trying harder, if that makes sense.
No, we see it all the time. And I kind of feel like I see that with Scottie Scheffler and his putting right now. It just looks like he's caring too much. You know what I mean?
His name kind of popped in my head as like, I was like saying this, I thought of him too. It just doesn't look natural. He's such a good athlete. He's another one. That's a great, he played basketball. He's a great basketball player. He's a great athlete. Look
like
at his
ping,
swing.
He looks like he'd be good at ping pong, you know, like
I know. Honestly, I'd like to hang out. I mean, I'm good buddies with Scotty, but I feel like we'd be very similar in terms of like playing little games competition wise. Like I know he's gotten into pickleball. I love pickleball.
Oh, I love some pickle, but, baby.
Pickle's pretty, it's kind of addicting. It's like, oh, I'll just play a couple games of pickle. And then just like eight games later, you're like, man, I can't believe we just played that much pickle. But he's so athletic in his swing. Like he's just doing all these whirly bird finishes, just striping it. And like, I would just like to see, I think he just needs to just drop the care level a little and just be like, because he's such a good athlete. I'm sure he's going to find his way with his putting, but obviously he's been struggling here a little bit lately. I think he just needs to be an athlete and be reactionary.
Well, that's such a good conversation to have because I went something similar with my full swing. I'm sure you played with me once or twice during that stretch where it's like, you know, they're a really good athlete. You know that they have the capability of being able to get through whatever they're going through. But at the time in your head, you're just that. It's all you think about. And even when you have perfect range sessions and you have perfect putting sessions on the putting green, like Scotty, I'm sure has had, but when you get to that competition level, it just, the translation of thinking too much and wanting it so bad. It's such a fine line of, like you said, caring less. It's not easy to do.
No, it's really not. Like at a time where you want to be like, you know, caring more because you do really care about it. Like at a time you want to be putting more time into it and like making sure you're focused on it. It's almost just like, yeah, that's good. But like, just find a way to loosen up a little bit and free it up. Like even, you know, he's marking and like spending time on like two footers. Like he's like really grinding over them and you can see he's like thinking about it. And like, I would just like to see him just like get up and like, okay, maybe he is a little worried about this three footer, but just get up and just like hit it left center. It's like a left center putt. You don't need to overanalyze it a couple different ways. And it's just like, yeah, like almost in a way, just like embrace it. Like, okay, this is a tough putt, but if I just get up and brush this little three footer in, like this is going to give me some confidence if I just get up and brush this in. Like this little 2.5 footer can really give me some confidence if I just, you know, free it up, knock this one in. Maybe that frees me up to where, like, you know, the next 8 footer I have, I just have like the same kind of thought process where I'm just going to get up and brush this in. And I whatever kind of putt I hit doesn't matter. I've just hit it and then move on and try and do that again on the next hole.
Yeah, and that's great advice. And it definitely easier said than done, but it's a process when you're kind of coming out of a hole. But every single putt, you can kind of gain confidence as you go. And we're talking to Denny McCarthy, one of the best putters in the world. And I feel like the audience, I want to kind of you walk through your putter and what your process is like. So you hit it onto the green. I want you to talk about from when you're walking up to the green, from when you leave the green, what that entire process is like, from green reading to routine to positive feedback, negative feedback, dealing with emotions of making and missing putts.
Yeah. So, you know, playing 6 years on tour now, I know most of these golf courses, and, you know, you've played them 6 times, you've played multiple rounds on them. So, similar pin locations, you hit a shot 15 feet long left of the hole. I already know walking up what kind of putt I have. Like I have a very good visual memory. So I have a good, and I have some notes in my books of certain putts that might be weird or whatever, but like I've hit a shot to a certain point on the green. I already know what I'm kind of expecting for that putt coming up. So once I'm up there, I'm already kind of somewhat prepared. I know what kind of putt it's going to be. Fix my ball mark. Fix your ball mark.
Fix your ball mark, kids. Fix your ball mark, kids. Care for course.
I mark toss to Derek. Look at it from the side that I'm going to be putting it on.
That gives you what indication?
Just that I read it better from the ball side. And certain putts I actually read, help me get confirmation on the other side. Like to me, bendy left to righters, I read better on the side that I'm hitting the ball from. And actually bendy right to lefters or right to lefters, I've recently started to see better from the other side.
Really? That is so interesting.
So I don't see that for some reason. My eyes just don't see that much break from the opposite side on a left to righter. So if I know it's a left to righter, I might just even stay away from the other side of the hole.
So it almost confuses you a little bit from the other side.
Right. It's just like I know this putt breaks a decent amount and I go to the other side and I'm like, I just don't see that much. And that almost like plays a little trick on my mind. Whereas right to lefters lately, I still read it really well from the whole side, from the side I'm hitting the putt on, but I've been getting really good confirmation on the other side of the hole on right to lefters. So really?
Okay, so you could see you could see the imaginary line. You're a guy that sees lines. You could see the high point.
I see curves basically. I pick anything that stands out in my way. And sometimes if you play greens that are too pure, it's really hard to find something. So I'd say 85-90% of the time, like you're going to be able to find something that stands out, like relative. I like to call it like in the ballpark. So like I've helped a couple of my buddies recently, like, all right, let's just hit this 20 footer. Like to me, I'm already looking like boom, boom, I'm going to split this spot and this spot. And somewhere in between these is going to be the right ballpark. It could, the lower end would obviously be the firmer and the higher end would be the drippy. Somewhere in the middle is probably perfect pace. So like sometimes just even like setting up over it, say you pick the lower route thinking it was good. I stand over, I'm like, this looks like I need to hit this putt too hard. And if it's an uphill one and you're trying to be aggressive, maybe that is the line. But if it's a downhill breaking one, I don't want to feel like I have to hit that too hard. And then like maybe you adjust and it's like, okay, this is too high. And then like, okay, this feels just right. So I do a little bit of that. I'll grab one of my balls.
Use a line on your ball for a reference point?
I do, but so like when I'm reading it, so you guys can barely see the line there, right? I tilt it down to where
go a little up so I can see it. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
So like I tilt it down pretty far, but it's at my ballpark spot. So I'm not looking at the full line over the ball.
Sometimes that curve can look weird too when you're looking at it
right
from your eye view.
I basically just look at it like that, and I've lined it up in my general direction. So I still like to see it roll end over end, but I'm not so obsessed with where the line, I know it's pointed in my general direction. And from there, I can get up over it and be reactionary athletic. Like, okay, this is too high, too low. I can barely see the line. So I'm just going to, I'm just going to aim a little right of where this line is pointing me or whatever. So it's like in the ballpark, but then once I get up over it, I like almost don't pay attention to the line and I'm like very reactionary to it. So that's kind of how.
That's such good advice though.
It's like, that's how I view putting. And like, I've kind of come up with this own little system over the last, 10, 15 years, and like my own like little trial and error process of what has worked for me, what hasn't worked for me. And obviously this little kind of system that I kind of keep tweaking every now and then is like, it works for me.
And how do you practice it? Like, are you a big practicer with putting? Do you get worse when you practice?
No, I just don't like standing in that position for too long where I'm bent over. And obviously putting is my strength, and I feel like I can pick it like it. I haven't touched a club in a week and a half. I feel like I can go out and just be fine with putting, but ball striking is different for me. It's like, I don't feel like I could go out and just stripe it today. I would need to get my body moving. I would need to, I need to get some feels back. Like, it's like, I definitely work on my striking, driving much more than I do my putting, but that doesn't say like, if I feel off a couple days in a row or so with the putting, like I'll put a good session in of like an hour or so where I'm just kind of retraining my eyes and kind of just hitting a bunch of random putts and making sure, I'm tracking it right. But I basically just do, it's the Tiger drill. I do two tees at like a 5 foot straight putt, hit some one handed, hit some with both hands on. And then I kind of like to go both ways. So like, if I go this way, like inside left edge, ball out, all like 5-6 foot range, like go to the other side, right center, right edge, ball out. Just like hitting putts, getting familiar, like, okay, this is what right edge looks like when my putter's aimed right edge, ball out. Just hitting a lot of putts short end that I'm making. I like to see the line roll end over end. So like, okay, I'm striping the line. I'm making these 5-6 footers. Let's take them. And then I'll just start hitting a bunch of random putts. So I've kind of like trained my feel for that day for 5 or 10 minutes and then just start hitting random putts where I'm picking spots. And so it's basically that what I do, but then I just start picking spots and trying to,
So we talked about kind of walking up to the green, how you read putts. We talked just now about just your overall practice schedule. But all right, so you're out on the golf course playing on the PGA Tour, and you have a day where you're making everything. Those are obviously the easier days. But the days that you aren't making putts, how are you walking off the green? Or when I was playing, at least, one of the things that I always try to do was instantly try to have a reaction that was positive to miss putts so that I would be able to kind of not dwell on the misses. What's the routine that you run?
Yeah, I think it's really important to, because if you're missing putts like that, it can be really frustrating, and then it can feed into the things you have been doing well. Which is why like what Scotty's doing is really impressive, because like he's not converting on a lot of the shots he's hitting, and then he's just stepping up and like, boom, perfect drive, boom, great shot. And like, he just continues to do that, which is really impressive. It's because it's not easy to do. It feels really deflating when you feel like, especially me, when I feel like I'm playing great, I'm hitting quality shots, and I'm not converting on the putts. It's frustrating. It's not so easy for me to just like keep just hitting the quality shot after quality shot. But I think it's important just to know that, like, I know for me, it just like, if that kind of day is going on, I know it just takes one putt for me to like, even if it's just like, I've ran a birdie putt by and I make like a 5 footer for par or something. Just something like, okay, that was striped in the middle. Like, okay, now I feel good or something like that. I know that the run that I can go on is right around the corner if I just see one. So just telling myself that, And Derek, my caddy's done a really good job. Like, just keep hitting the shots, buddy. You're going to keep getting the looks and one's going to fall. That's all you need. So like, he's always been a good reminder. Like, and I know that too. Like, it really just takes one for me to go off, and I can go off in spurts. I can go make 5-6 birdies in a row. And sometimes it just takes something. It couldn't be a 5-footer for par on the hole before that kind of just gets the spark going. And I know that. So I just need to keep that in the back of my mind.
Well, my co-host and producer, Charlie Hume, we can't see his face right now, but I guarantee you he's making like visual feels with the putter. He's taking down notes because this guy is in a bad place right now with his putter. And so I just know that little section there was great for my guy, Charlie. And
just be an athlete, Charlie, just be an athlete, man.
Man. So this, you had a great 2022-2023 season. You finished 33rd in the FedEx Cup, just coming up short in East Lake, which I know was on your mind. But for you, you've been dealing with an injury in your lower back. We talked about this right before we came on. How long has this injury been going on for you? And what is kind of the outlook look like for you in the fall of dealing with it?
Yeah, it's something that kind of lingered around, but never got too serious until the British Open. You know, I played 9 like early Tuesday morning, and then it started to rain on the range, and I was hitting balls, and I was maybe going through things a little quickly. Just my day was like literally almost over. And I, all of a sudden I just kind of hit a 7-iron a little heavy, felt something like jarred in my back. And I was like, that's not good. And then like, I tried to like, could barely take it like waist high on the next ball. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm done for the day. And went in.
That's your first Open, right?
Yeah, first Open. I felt great going into it. I felt like I had a really good feel going into that week. Obviously, it was just bad timing. Wasn't able to play the golf I wanted to. My physio, Eddie Bolt, did some really good work on me. I tried to fight it out. You know, like my family was over there, which is tough. Like they rented a house right there. It was like, just didn't want to like, I wanted to put a fight in. I didn't want to just like give up. I don't like to, I mean, it would have to be something extremely serious. This was serious, but I felt like I could still maybe get it around. And if I got hot with the putter, like, who knows? Like, but, that was tough. And then I had, you know, a week and a half off after I took, you know, I didn't touch club for 10 days and felt okay to like, get into playing again. Like I really like Wyndham. That's a good tournament for me. Good course for me. Didn't play well there. Shook off some rust, was still fighting a little pain. And then it's like all of a sudden the playoffs are around and like, you know, hadn't played much golf and hadn't played any good golf. And it was just really bad timing. It's like, I just needed one more decent event to like lock up East Lake. And then all of a sudden it's like all this pressure on the BMW to like play well. Like I've had this really good year and I just kind of felt it just like slip through my hands the last like month and a half. Like just even East Lake, you know, Ryder Cup was on my mind a little bit. Like these are things I was thinking about, but I wasn't like playing scared because of them. Like I just wasn't myself. Like I just wasn't in the frame of mind, and you know, my game kind of, it just wasn't where it was when I was playing well most of the year. So I worked really hard the week in BMW, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I put in a lot of work to try and just regain some of that form that I had most of the year. And that's just a really hard golf course. It's long for me. I scrambled really well. I just didn't have enough in the tank to, you know, put 4 rounds together, which is disappointing, but still I had a really good year. I still feel like I got a lot better this year, and I still think I can get a lot better, which is encouraging going forward.
So what's the diagnosis on the back injury? Is it just something that you just got to take some time off?
Yeah, it's just a minor disc bulge, L4, L5. And yeah, no surgery. I've talked to some doctors, both are pretty conservative about it. And so actually done a couple of Pilates classes with my fiance. Yeah.
Is that a Pilates hoodie we're looking at right there? Did we just get back?
This is a red Vanley hoodie. I guess you can call it a Pilates hoodie.
I didn't know if it was like a hot Pilates class where you go and get a nice little sweat in the whole deal.
I might do that. We did a class yesterday. I got a good sweat in. My fiance and I, Sam, have we've done that. We've done three classes over the last week. I really like it. The doctor that I talked to really recommended it. She was like, I just really think you need to just really strengthen the core. Get some glutes in there. And so I have a pretty good plan going forward. I'm not going to play much this fall. I'm going to still play some golf here and there at home, but right. I'm not, you know, I think my body definitely needs a break from traveling and playing tournament golf at the moment for sure.
Well, keep playing golf, Denny, because I'll tell you this, the first two things that go when you stop playing are your glutes and your core. So
yeah.
I'm sitting over here thinking like, man, every day I'm like, I got to activate my glutes. it wouldn't hurt for me to do a crunch a time or two, but I try to get it done as much as I can, but I stay busy. It was always a lot easier when I knew I had to activate everything every morning. Now I'm like, at the end of the day, it's like, you know what? Like, it's already 5 o'clock. Do I really need to activate the glutes and do a crunch or two? Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm going to bed soon. Do I really need to do it? I've already kind of like, I haven't done anything all day. I'm about to go to bed. I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah. And no, but yeah, it's rinse repeat for me currently. And it's a different stage of life, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Do you have two kids now? Or one kid?
No, I feel like I do with this golden retriever every now and then. Luckily she's sleeping or she would be giving me, she'd be heckling me during this interview. But no, Anna Carter is my only kid daughter, and she's 7 months. So I definitely get some like nice back extension working during the day with the constant pickup stuff. And, but I'm like, I think any dad will know this, and you'll get there one day, is that your shoulders start doing this because yeah. you're holding babies this way. So right. I'm always trying to get my chest to extend to try to yep. keep my shoulders from getting tight. But I get cupped like once a week because I always get so tight.
That's funny you say that. The Pilates instructor we were having yesterday said, my shoulders have a tendency to do this. She wants to like, not like arching my back, but like keeping my core engaged and just getting some extension through the shoulders, upper back. Like I just have a tendency to like sit like this, like all the time.
Uh-huh. So off-season goals for Denny, I think, for just content. I would love to have a live stream of actually three options here. So I want to see a live stream of your putting practice. I want to see a live stream of your Pilates class. And then I want a live stream of you playing Golden Tee. You showed us your little setup over there. You got some course records going on. That's pretty pretty nerded out. I love it.
I know. Yeah, it's just the nerdy competitor in me and, you know, my older brother, Ryan.
Show everybody the little setup, the putting setup, okay, and then Golden Tee.
The putting setup's right here, people. It's I don't use the mirror all the time. I use it in here. Stripe some nugs. Oh, someone's calling me.
Tell them we're doing a podcast.
Yeah, we're doing a podcast.
Unless it's somebody really cool, then we can maybe figure out how to get them in here.
it's my sister Christina. She's cool, but she's not worthy of your podcast yet.
Oh, come on now.
Hold on.
No, you're good. So the Golden Tee is definitely something I've played at a bar a time or two in my day. But you got it in your own home, and here we are looking at it.
Here's the setup.
Wow.
Here's my course record list. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I know.
Does that just stay there?
Like, yeah, it just stays here. So like I play like, you know, there's a couple course records like 14 under Stone Valley, Scorpion Bend, 14 under. Those course records got to come up. Those are beatable. Those are beatable course records, and I don't want anyone beating my course records. So,
all right. Well, invite me over. You just got to give me a couple beers and just let me.
The crazy thing is, though, like those 14 under, they're 14 because, like, the game knows once you're, like, you know, 11 under through 11, it gets so hard. Like, the wind just starts blowing like 20, like down off the left to a front left pin, and like, there's just no way to like get it close. So you got to make some bombs like coming down the back nine. So you got to get the wand. You got to get the wand hot. You got to make some putts because it's just like you have to take on a shot just to hit it to like 30, 40 feet sometimes.
Well, I'm going to try to have a clean transition out of this. And I'm going to go straight into what also was a difficult golf course that you played on this year, where it was tough to hit to 30, 40 feet. And that was at Jack's Place. That place got firm and fast on the weekend. And I know you probably feel, looking back at that event this year, that that one, you know, you've probably felt like that was the one for you that you're like, man, I could have gotten that W. But I mean, does it make you feel any better that you lost the FedEx Cup champion and Victor Hovland?
Yes and no in a way. I actually hadn't thought about it in a while until I was talking to like my brother and a couple other buddies this morning on the phone. Like I just went out to get some breakfast and coffee and like, just like that just popped into my head. One of them brought it up and I was just like, you know, like somebody was like, you know, if you won that event, you'd be like, you know, eighth in the point standings instead of 14th. And I'm like, yeah, well, I knew that. I knew that. You didn't have to remind me of that. But that was, man, that was such a fun week. I played really well. That golf course is like, man,
I love it too.
I love it too. I played well there last year and I just had good vibes showing up this year. I think I missed the cut at Colonial the week before and I got there early and I just did a ton of preparation. Like I walked with wedge and a putter on Sunday, the front nine, just hitting so many chips and putts, played the other nine on Monday, other nine Tuesday, pro-am Wednesday. So like I saw each nine two times. And so like, I just felt so prepared too. Like I just knew all the breaks to the putts. Like I knew what it was going to be like. I knew you were going to have to hit nine irons to 30 feet. Like you're not going to be able to really attack. The place just gets purple on the weekend. And I kind of love that because like,
except I just 16. Know going.
Yeah. Well, like that's the thing. Like I'm hitting a shot on 12 on Sunday that I know standing on the tee that I basically can't hit the green. And it's just like, it's crazy when you're hitting a nine iron on a par three. It was just blowing. It's almost better hurting because then you can kind of spin it up and like have the wind help stop it. But it was just blowing like 10 to 15 downwind and the green's concrete. And I'm just like, I know I can't hold this green. The miss is actually the front bunker, but you can't quite risk it that much. Cause if you try and miss it in the front bunker, there's also water surrounding it. So it's just like, It's a gritty, grindy place, which is why I like it. I know if you shoot even to a couple under on those weekend rounds that you can really make some, you know, you can do some damage. You know, one or two under goes a long way at that place on the weekend. And I know that. So like taking advantage of some of the holes where you might get some wedges on the front to certain pins and then just got to be pretty safe and cautious to a lot of other pins. And even you even got to just take some shots on, like I was even talking about Golden Tee, like you even just got to take some shots on to dime on the front just to get yourself a 30, 40 footer. It's not just like, I got to take this on to hit it close. I got to take this on to just hit the green basically.
And that's that perspective you're talking about, that's what people don't realize when they're sitting there watching on coverage and they're watching the Memorial, they don't realize how difficult and in your head, talking about the guy who almost won the golf tournament, that you're playing for a 30 to 40 footer with short irons. That's how difficult that golf course is playing.
Yeah. Like even just the wedge shot on 14 popped into my head. Like if you try and play that conservatively out to the left, like you can miss it in the bunker and be in a worse place. Like you have to take that wedge shot on. You have
it's to. Not
like
easy.
When it gets that firm and they put that sliver like right pin, it's like, you have to take it on. There's really no other option. And I like to take it on anyway. If you miss long, it's like right back up the hill.
Oh, that's actually fine back there. Yeah.
Yeah. And if it's a red hazard and that stuff isn't totally shaved. So like if you do leak it a little right, there's a good chance it stays up. If not, you're on like fluffy first cut chipping up the hill, which is not amazing still with the greens firm, but like knowing, like that's just knowing your surroundings too. Like, okay, I feel comfortable to take this on. I don't think I'm going to miss this shot, but if I, you know, take it on and do leak a little, right? I do have a couple fail options potentially.
And that would be the red penalty area, not to to correct your verbiage here, but yes, penalty area. every time I've had to like in my TV world, I have to like not say hazard now. I'm like, it's a hazard. I'm just so wired to say it that way.
It's a hazard.
Well, you had an incredible run there at Jack's Place, and really you had an incredible year, 7 top tens, only 6 missed cuts. And I'm sitting there just kind of going through your results through the year. And I think what it surprised me the most is how much money you guys make on the PGA Tour now. Like finishing, I was right around that my rookie year, somewhere in the 30s. And I feel like it was somewhere in like the twos. And you made like $6.4 million this year. Like, do you actually like look at that much? Or is it just kind of like, you know what? Like, I'm in a great spot. I'm more focused on playing good golf, and my goals are more important, and knowing the money is going to follow.
Yes, exactly that, basically. Like, it is nice that we are playing for the money that we're playing for. Like, it's
crazy,
nice,
right?
To look back and like, be like, yeah, I made $6.5 million this year. That's awesome. It's amazing, but that's not why I play the game. Like, if you know me, or if anyone knows me, like, I just love trying to get better at things. And that's even like golden tee, that's ping pong, that's shooting a basketball, that's throwing darts, like any like cornhole, like I'm always trying to find a way to get better at things. And that's kind of, you know, I think that's why golf's so perfect for me, is like, you know, I'm a good athlete and I have good hand eye, but like, I just like have a drive to like continue to get better. Like I feel like I can play with the best players in the world. I know like I'm still, you know, maybe a couple notches below some of these top tier guys. But I watch them and I'm like, man, that is just like, people just have no idea how good that shot was. He just hit like, you know, like, there's just like, I watch these guys, like Victor played unbelievable. Like, he was just like a robot this week. Like, right. I watched some of him on like the weekend, and he's just like striping his tee shots, striping his irons, making putts. His putting, I think, is very underrated. I think people are going to be going to Aimpoint after watching like him and, you know, him do Aimpoint, and like Keegan and Max Homa, like these guys that are doing
watching
Aimpoint
him
now
do it though.
I know, but it's like they've become good putters doing it. That's the crazy. It's like, it's actually working. But yeah, I've always been someone to just like try and find ways to, I've actually learned Aimpoint as like a tool. I'm not obsessed with it, but the tour, they put so many subtle pins where it's really hard to see sometimes, or like it can be breaking.
A lot of crowns,
like breaking one way and then back the other way at the hole, or like breaking the whole way and then just like not break at the end or something. So like, I've used it as a tool. If I feel like it's like, okay, if I'm not making putts, like I'm going to start tossing my feet in here and maybe change it up a little bit. Maybe it'll tell me something that, you know, I haven't been seeing. But so like just examples like that, I never would have thought I learned Aimpoint, but I did it to have a tool to maybe lean back on if things weren't going as well. So yeah, the money is amazing, but I just want to try and become as good as I can at golf, basically.
Yeah. And you kind of mentioned Victor and just top players and things that you see. And I was sitting there watching you and Rory McIlroy go at each other in that 1v1 match in Austin this year. And y'all's match was incredible. I think you made like 6 birdies and an eagle against Rory and lost on 18, 2 down. But I want to get your perspective of what you saw on the tee box. You're 1 down and you're thinking, all right, I need to make birdie to send this thing to extra holes. And then Rory does what?
He just, you know, casually just flew a 350-yard bomb downwind on the green. No big deal.
did you know? Like, what did it? Did it look like it was far enough in the air that you're like, oh god?
Yeah.
That
well,
could be
the
really
thing
good.
Is, like, everyone's like, man, what did it look like on the tee? I'm like, I don't know. It looked like 5 other of the drives he hit that day, like just extremely high and far with not much spin. Just like an absolute, like number 12. I was between like a 5 and a 6 iron and a fairway bunker, and he was
the wedge.
Like maybe 100 yards ahead of me with like a gap wedge in his hand. And so I'm like, or maybe it was a 6 and 7. I was like, Derek, it was like a bullpen. I'm like, he's going to hit this gap wedge inside 15 feet and have an eagle look. Like, I need to like try and make eagle. Like, it was just like, he's down there with the gap wedge, and I'm like, I have a 6 iron, but I heard people cheering on the green, and then like all of a sudden I hear the camera guy on the tee box. I don't know if I'm allowed to cuss on this show, but he was the camera guy just goes, holy shit. And I was like, man, that can't be a good holy shit for me. That's gotta be a pretty good holy shit for him. And like all of a sudden, like I see like there's a camera like 50 yards off the tee and one on the tee box, and like one of the guys just goes like that. And I was like, oh, so he just hit it to, I just lost. Like, he just hit it to a tap in.
Yeah, and it was a heck of a match. Like, you played great. I mean, I think that's the cool thing about that match play event that we miss is for you to have an opportunity. And I got to play Rory at the match play as well. And it's one of my best memories because I don't get to go up against Rory McIlroy every day in a match play setting. So that was, I mean, for you, it has to be just a great barometer of where you're at as far as just like, you know what, I could beat this guy.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Like, when I saw the groupings came out, I loved that I was in the group, group with him, Keegan too. Like, Keegan and I had him up most of the match, and he had a great finish to tie our match. But like, the match with Rory, I felt like I was waking up. I felt like I was like playing on the weekend of a major in contention. Like, yeah, that's what it felt like. And so like, moments like that match where I'm neck and neck with him most of the match, like, gives me a lot of confidence. And like, that's, you know, that was probably a little bit of a stepping stone to like just feeling comfortable at Memorial on the weekend. Like, you know, okay, I can handle like what felt like for me, like kind of big time pressure playing Rory. Like, I know the match is going to be on TV. I know they're going to show him a lot. I just felt like, okay, yeah, like I can do this. Like, I can hang with the top guys. Especially when I like really focus and put my mind to it. That was a really fun match that day. We both played really well. And like,
yeah, definitely. I don't know,
we both were 4-6 under, like you said, but like, we didn't make anything that day. Like, we like were hitting good shots, and those greens are tough. Like, just a mm-hmm. lot of what we talked about, like breaking one way, and then breaking the other way at the hole, or just like really hard to see, like around the straight putt. Like, I think this putt's straight from 50, just a lot of really hard putts to read, I felt like there. But that was a really fun match, and that was kind of a moment like, okay, you know, it was a disappointing day. I didn't win, but you know, I can do this. Like, I can hang with the top guys and play with them for sure.
Yeah, and you were heading into that week right around 60th in the world, and I imagine that the Masters was probably on your mind. If you have a good week, you know, find your way into the semifinals, it's like, maybe that'll be enough to make the Masters. But heading into next season, you've kind of spoken about how you're so competitive and continue to know that you're going to improve in different areas. But for you, what are your goals next season? I know that you're in a really good spot now, sitting at 32nd in the world to most likely earn your first Masters bid. But outside of that, what, you know, for you, what are you most looking forward to in goals?
Yeah, I don't really like have like set goals that I write down. I definitely, you know, have some things that I want to accomplish kind of just in my head. Like I want to get better every year. I think next year that step would be making it to the Tour Championship. I think that's no secret. I've kind of been, I don't know what I finished last year. It was 35-ish, 33 this year, just on the outside looking in. I want to just keep getting better and putting myself, you know, obviously I want to win a tournament. I haven't done that. That's not something like that I'm like, I have to win a tournament this year. Like, that is my goal, to win a tournament. I think if I just keep getting better and keep putting myself in contention mm-hmm. frequently, like the top guys do so often, like, it's going to happen. Like, if I just keep doing that, I'm going to get more comfortable. It's going to happen. And then once it happens, like, I think it'll just, you know, I feel like I can just knock off some here and there. It's really hard to win. Really hard to win. There's just so many good players. Like, somebody you might not even think like just pops up and shoots like Sepp at John Deere. We're staying in the house. He started the day 5 back, and I look at a couple holes in. He's
oh,
like,
you're in the frat house.
Yeah, I was in the house that week. I was like just somebody just like popped out at like, so like, is Sepp like, I think Sepp's like 9 or 9 under through 11.
Is he going to win this golf tournament?
And I was literally just like, I had a like just kind of a slow start, like even through 5 or 6, and like I just look up and I'm like, am I like really 6 back right now? Like, what the heck's going on? Like, what? Like, I just like couldn't believe, like, I'm like, man, it was like kind of deflating. It was like, I don't think I can win this tournament now. I tried to like, I didn't really make anything to like kind of get anything going, but it was just like kind of deflating. Like, man, had like this, I was feeling ready for a good day, and like I just feel like my day was like squandered early. So it's really hard to win. I think if I just continue to just do the things that I've been doing and improve a little bit here and there, I think I'm gonna, you know, put myself in a spot where I, you know, am competing maybe a a little more frequently to win.
I mean, and two, I feel like Augusta National will be like Denny McCarthy's paradise. I feel like that golf course is right up your alley. Maybe not necessarily the link side, but the creative mind that you have to play that place, especially around the greens. You can't be a guy that says, hey, this is right edge. You have to be able to see curves out there because the greens get purple on the weekends and you have to have imagination. I mean, talk about just potentially playing at Augusta National this year.
Yeah, I've had a bunch of people tell me that I would just absolutely love it around the greens there, which
you will.
excites me because, like, you know, just all the I've never been there. I've kind of made it a point to, like, I'm not going to go there until I qualify for the Masters, like as like a reward to myself. And it seems like that might happen this go around. And I just love, like, seeing the humps and bumps, and like it seems like you need to just have like elite speed control. A lot of putts you need to kind of feed the high line, and just know what the high line is, and like, you know this line isn't going to work, like this is going to miss low and it's going to be zooming by. I like figuring out, like, where's the apex, where is this going to like drop, come down, like where do I need to drippy drop this at the top of the apex. So like I love that stuff. Like, to me, putting is fun. So like when I get on greens like that where you like you need to get your mind really engaged and, you know, see the pictures of the arcs. Like, I love that. So that excites me a lot. I would like to put on some distance. You mentioned like the length might be an issue for me. I'm hoping, with this recovery, like getting my core stronger, doing some things in the gym, I'm hoping to pick up some speed without like, you know, doing like full speed training. I've crept up there. Like, I've been like around a 170 ball speed guy for a while. And this towards the end of this year, I actually, you know, even in Memphis with like my back not doing amazing, like I was touching and, you know, I was touching 74 to 76 ball speed, which is high
that's,
for me.
Yeah. That's moving.
I felt like I was moving well. So I feel like I can get up there. If I could play in that 175 ball speed,
that's a great spot.
Like,
you don't need any more than that.
Right. I know. I think if I could just gain a little bit off the tee in that range, I think, and you know, that then that turns a 7-iron into a, maybe an 8 or 9-iron, just so, you know, the ability to just attack a little bit more and not have to be so conservative, would benefit me a lot. I've made a lot of improvements on my ball striking, iron play.
Right.
And I think, you know, that place, you gotta, it's a second shot golf course. You gotta be hitting it in the right tiers and on the right levels. So I think that's, you know, that's the area I still need to improve on. I've made a lot of improvements, but it can still get better.
Well, that'll be fun to watch. And, I imagine one of your goals, and you kind of talked about it just briefly, was, and I see the, looks like an American flag behind you, a little blanket there. Yeah. But I imagine that the Ryder Cup was on your mind. You finished 14th in the Ryder Cup's points list. They just announced the team. I know it was on your mind. How difficult was it for you, knowing that you were injured and feeling like, man, this is just, you feel like, you know, East Lake just kind of slipped away. And then you feel like Ryder Cup as well, knowing that you would have been a great partner with anybody because of your putter and just how good of a player you are.
Yeah. I mean, it's weighed on me a lot the last, I'm kind of over it now, but you know, after BMW, you know, I felt like I wasn't going to get a pick. I just missed out on East Lake. I was pretty disappointed. But you know, I've tried to focus on, I rewatched The Last Dance like a month ago for like the third time. And I remember Michael Jordan saying, like, you just always got to focus on the positives, no matter how down you might be or like how negative, the situation might be, you always got to take the positives out of it. So I reflected on my year and realized, you know, okay, I've gotten a lot better. And although these couple things really sting, I'm going to be better for this. I'm going to be better for this. This hurts, but I'm going to use it to make me better. And I think, yeah, it was tough. I have a really good support system and team around me. And you know, they've really lifted me up, you know, all the time, really, whatever it may be, they're always there to pick me up and kind of push me moving forward. And I think that's really important. And even, you know, Zach called me yesterday morning and, you know, told me I wasn't, you know, they were going to go in a different direction and I wasn't going to be on the team. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, you know, Zach, I really appreciate the call. And like, you know, it means a lot that you guys were considering me. And, I wasn't really expecting a pick, just cause I just hadn't done that much the last few months and, you know, being 14th on the points, it just wasn't, mm-hmm. I knew I needed to do more. And he told me, you know, you are great for team golf, but you're also great in the team room. He's told me we've gotten to know each other the last 3 or 4 years pretty well. And he was like, you're great to be around. You're going to be one of those guys. You're going to be on these teams. So that was encouraging to me. You know, obviously not great news with the phone call, but the way he, you know, kind of just talked to me on the phone, letting me know that, you know, you're a great team guy. You'd be great for the team golf. And that made me feel pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that would make me feel good as well. That would give me some confidence. And I know he kind of referenced how good you would be, not only on the golf course, but in the team room. And you've played the Junior Ryder Cup. You were playing with JT and Jordan. That was, I'm not sure, was that over, where was that? Was it in the
2010 at Glen Eagles.
Glen Eagles.
And Jordan, that, but, yeah, Jordan played the Ryder Cup. Jordan played the Ryder Cup 4 years later, the Ryder Cup at the same spot. It was like, dude, I'm in college, like crazy. Drinking beer. I just played like a Junior Ryder Cup with this kid, and now he's playing the Ryder Cup 4 years later at the exact same place, which was kind of cool. But
his come up was wild, man.
crazy. I was playing like, felt like I was competing with the guy, and then he was like winning tournaments and being on Ryder Cup teams. I'm like, wow.
Oh, man. Well, and you were on the 2015 Walker Cup team as well. So that was at Royal Witham. And, you know, what was that experience like? We have the Walker Cup. That's all next week. What were those memories like and some of those relationships that you made during that Walker Cup?
I love it, man. I mean, I love team golf. I still talk to almost all those guys on the Walker Cup. Obviously, Junior Ryder Cup, you know, me, JT Spieth, you know, Ollie Schneider Jans was on that team. He's
2011,
really
baby. The 2011 class.
That class, man. We were freaking stacked. But I love team golf, like just the same way, like I was on all these basketball teams. Like it feels like I'm on like a basketball team. Obviously we're playing a different sport, but I played baseball too. Like I just love the team aspect, like having fun, joking around with the guys. Like it's like a, you know, just the camaraderie. It's like a brotherhood. So I love team golf. Like I said, I don't really have, you know, the Ryder Cup is a goal of mine. I don't have written out set goals, but like I've been on a U.S. team representing my country at every level. And I think, you know, that's something I really want to do is be on a President's Cup or Ryder Cup or both. You know, I want to be on those teams, hanging with the guys, competing with them in battle. Like I love that stuff. So yeah, it's disappointing that I'm not on this team, but I know if I just keep improving and getting better that, you know, hopefully I'll be on those teams to come.
Well, this has been a fantastic conversation. I mean, I feel like we touched it all. I mean, everywhere from just what you expect out of yourself in the future with potential being on those teams, and would not surprise me to see you on a team next year. And first off, get healthy, go crush it in Pilates, keep setting course records at Golden Tee. And just as a reminder, it is still 546. It is still 546. And I every time I follow you, I might just wear this watch, this Bobby Mowers Memorial Junior Golf Tournament as my trophy. Just to remind you, it's 546.
Yeah, it must have been like the time you beat me or something. Like you got this watch, you're like, I'm gonna set it to the exact time we finished that match. 546.
Are you sure it went 5-3? Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, Denny, thanks for coming on, man. This was awesome. I feel like people are gonna learn a lot from you and be inspired, and keep doing your thing, man. I look forward to watching you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Smiley. Thanks for having me on. This was a lot of fun. Let me know if you want to do it again.
Absolutely.
Do it again.
Go Hoos.
Go Hoos, baby. Go Hoos.
Go Tigers.
Yeah. We got a Who on the Walker Cup squad. Ben James.
Great player too. Wow.
Yeah, he's going to be really good. He is really good right now, but he's going to be really good.
Well, it's I think Virginia football is going to need some help this year. So it basketball season can't come soon enough.
Football. Yeah. The talk of all these ACC teams, maybe going to the SEC, UVA is definitely not ready for that, but their basketball is obviously always a threat. So I'm looking forward to, football, cause I'll probably go to a game this fall, but I'm definitely a basketball guy.
There you go. Well, it's about to be that time of the season. We just need that cool air to drop with it. But all right, man, I'll let you run. Do your thing, and I'll be cheering for you.
All right. Thanks, man.
So great talking to Denny. We definitely need to have him back on the show. Or better yet, we might need to get a live stream of a Golden Tee tournament from his house. That's all for today's episode. We're going to take Monday off and drop in 3 episodes this week, including live reacts to Zach Johnson's Ryder Cup picks, which you can find on our YouTube and in our pod feed right now. We will see you next week with another interview as the Ryder Cup approaches. Thanks for listening. The Smiley Show is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliances. Plus, get 3 Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.